Welcome back to Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. I'm your host, Lucy Sparrow, and my guest today is journalist Bill DeYoung, whose latest book...
Lucy?
Yes, Bill?
You're kind of doing my job there.
Oh, sorry.
My guest today is artist Lucy Sparrow from the UK. You can tell by her accent there. That's where she's from, you know. Lucy has an exhibition, a sort of a pop-up exhibition that's going to be there for a while at Floridorama, or Floridorama, depending on where you come from. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's really lovely to be here.
Yeah, it's early in the morning, and it's a pleasure to talk to you. Last week, you were in town for a few days when Lucy Sparrow's Quick Shop opened. We're going to go into tremendous detail about it, but how was that? A lot of people come by to talk to you and ask you about the exhibition.
Yeah, it was really amazing. It's great to be back in the Tampa Bay area and seeing the people that came to the last show and just kind of connecting with people again. And you know, it's such a wonderful area. It's so creative, and I always feel very welcome here.
You did one in Tampa, which was called the... What was it called?
Tampa Fresh Foods.
Oh, Tampa Fresh Foods. There it is on my notes. That was in 2022. 50,000 pieces. We still haven't given it away yet, what you do. 50,000 pieces in 22. So you've been here before.
I have, yeah. Yeah. I actually have been here maybe 6 times in total. And in 2022, I probably was here for close to 2 months.
To work on the Tampa piece.
To work on the Tampa show, yes.
Okay, let's give it away, folks. Lucy Sparrow's Quick Shop, which is now up in Floridorama. Hi, Liz. it's approximately 1,000 square feet from what I understand. It's a bodega. I love saying that word. It's like a little New York grocery store, like a corner grocery store, with everything you'd find in such a place. And it's roomy, and you go around in there, and... it's all made of felt, which is what Lucy does. Absolutely incredible stuff. Everything, you know, from sort of pills from the apothecary, you know, Tylenols and fresh fruits and vegetables, packages of crackers and cookies and biscuits. And what else? Tell me, what else is in there?
Okay, I think we've got lots of seafood, weirdly, because you probably wouldn't have that in a bodega or any kind of convenience store. We've actually got like stone crab claws.
Florida, it's Florida, yeah.
Yeah, lots of spiny lobsters, lots of fresh meat and fresh fish. But at the same time, there's lots of like personal care items. So we've got lots of like pills, first aid stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a real mixture.
Before we go any further, I've got to like pull this question down out of the cloud and lob it your way. Why do you do this? Why felt?
Why felt? I kind of live in like this fantasy world where I think that inanimate objects always need eyes. I think that, you know, things like bits of furniture should be soft. Like I prefer it when things are made out of fabric, and felt is one of those fabrics that I really like.
When I was in there the other day, some people were... I met someone that I knew, and she said, oh, here are my grandchildren, and they just bought something. And one was sort of ground beef, but it was felt. And I'm thinking, well, that's lovely. You can't eat it. She was the little girl. She was so proud of it that she pulled it out of her bag, you know. So it's they're stitched. They're like little pillows, aren't they? I mean, with the stuffing from, like, toys or stuffed animals, I think you said.
Yeah, so it's it's full of like toy stuffing that you would normally have in like plushies and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the difference is that obviously it's made out of felt, which isn't a very durable material. Mm-hmm. You can't like do a lot to it and expect it to survive. You definitely can't wash it.
Yeah.
And then I paint on top of it as well. So it's got all the lettering and everything is hand painted.
Now what we're talking about here, if you can't picture it, it looks like a grocery store. It feels like a grocery store. It walks through like a grocery store, but it's not really a grocery store. Everything's made of felt, and it looks down to the labels completely real. It's a very surreal experience, and certainly not the first or the fifth or the tenth one of these you've done. I made a sort of a list here, which I want to go through in a minute, of the most interesting things that I read about from your resume, but... You're from a place in the UK called Bath. And I think you might say Bath, but I'm going to say in the American way, Bath. Were you always an artist?
I was always a very artistic child, but it took me until I was about 28 in order to actually do it as a job. I always wanted to do it as a job, but it's incredibly hard industry to get into, especially to be able to earn a living that, you know, you can be comfortable on.
Yeah.
And then I got to, yeah, the age of 28, and I managed to go full time with it. And I think now I employ 50 people, so it's grown somewhat.
You are a world famous artist. Does anyone else do anything similar to this? Or are you a pioneer in this? It's an honest question because I do not know.
I really don't think that there is anyone else, certainly not doing it to this extent. I don't know if there's anyone that regularly makes felt shops or fake shops in any way. I know that my work has influenced a lot of things in the last kind of like 5 years, whether it be from like fashion houses or kind of like marketing events, which is great because it just shows that there's a tipping point with the work, that enough people have seen it so that there's kind of like influence trickling through. I would say, I don't think there are many people doing it. And quite honestly, how long it takes to make the pieces and how much hard work is involved, I don't think anyone else can be bothered.
I think that's fantastic. You know, it's not a, I should remind people of this too. It's not just sort of like, ooh, look, there's a potato. Ooh, there's a carrot, you know. It's dozens of them. It looks real. There's piles of them. And everything's for sale, which we should always say. I wanted to talk about, again, some of your other projects, because, and hopefully you can sort of tell me about it. And there's always a why in the back of my mind, like, how did you get this idea?
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Let's go back to Beijing in 2019. What was that?
So that was, it was a recreation of all of the most famous artworks in history. So we had everything from Michelangelo's David, we had The Scream, there was Mondrian there, we had Keith Haring, Klaus Oldenburg, Dali, Picasso, like everything that you could possibly think of was rendered in felt to the exact same size as the real thing.
These are little, instead of paint, so it's little bits of felt.
It's little bits of felt. So it's like a kind of simplified version, but then all the other details are done in paint. So it looks convincing enough, but obviously it's all made out of fabric, so they're more like tapestries.
That's, I imagine that the Chinese were sort of knocked on their asses, you know, like, what is this?
Yeah, I mean, they were really impressed. And do you know what the hardest thing to do was? Because obviously the show was in China, they wanted me to make a lot of more famous Chinese works. Mm. So I had a lot of like scrolls. I had a lot of scripture kind of with the kanji lettering and things like that. So it was things that were really a stretch for me to make and that didn't have the same resonance as some of the contemporary and more modern works, but to them was very significant.
But it meant something to them.
Absolutely, yeah. We had like little jade horses and, you know, real like Ming vases and things like that.
Now, you did a chemist in London in 21.
Yeah.
And what was the name of it?
That was the Borden Street Chemist.
Borden, yeah, okay. I wrote Bourbon. I knew that wasn't right because you're not from New Orleans. So was that the first time you did sort of pill bottles and, you know, tampon packages and all that sort of stuff?
It was the first time that I'd done it en masse. In 2015, I made two medicine cabinets called His and Hers, and it was male and female toiletries in like glass cabinets, and that was my first time ever showing it at Miami Art Fair.
Yeah.
But this was, you know, on a different scale. And what was the funniest thing is that I came up with the idea for the show and started making the show way before COVID actually happened. And then it ended up being, like, the show was delayed, I think, 3 times before it eventually went live. And then
was that your first time in the States?
No, that was in London.
Oh, I thought you said you did it in the Miami Art Fair.
Miami, yes, that was the first time. It was, December 2015, I showed it, first time showing at Miami Art Week, first time showing my work in America ever.
Is that Art Basel? Is that what they call that?
So the
or
main,
is that a different thing?
Yeah, no, it's the same thing. So yeah. The main fair is Art Basel, and then you get loads of satellite fairs around the area. So you've got Design Miami, Art Miami, you've got Untitled, all the ones like on the beach and things like that.
Yeah.
They all happen at the same time in a thing called Miami Art Week.
Well, this kind of leads me into somewhere that I was thinking about before. When you're an artist in the UK, when you're doing something different, let's say, I mean, is it like musicians like, well, I got to break America. That's a thing. Will they get it there? You know, it's like the Beatles coming to America. Will they get what we do? You know, was that a sort of thing coming up in the UK? Well, if I make it in America, that's big. Or were you like, eh?
No, I think it was always my plan. So after I did my first show, my first successful show was in 2014, which is The Corner Shop.
Yeah.
My next aim was always to do a US version in New York. It took me until 3 years after that show to actually do it because other projects came in. But my granddad emigrated to California when, you know, before I really knew him, I only met him a couple of times. So I've really had this link with the US kind of throughout my life.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad I did it when I was 30, because I think if I did it now, I think I would find it more terrifying. But I think about doing it when I was, it was in 2017 I did my first show, and it sold out before the end of the run. So it was actually more successful in the US than it was in the UK. And now I've done more shows in the US than the UK. But I think the more successful you get, the more worried, there is to lose. But when you're like young and inexperienced in the art world, you're kind of like, oh, well, what's the worst that could happen?
Was America terrifying for you when you came over here? Or did you say, this looks just like television, like I thought it would?
Honestly, I have this thing where I don't really get scared about doing stuff. And it's almost like that fake it till you make it.
I
kind of gave the impression that I knew exactly what I was doing, even if I didn't. And it's kind of served me quite well, to be honest. And through that process, I actually do know what I'm doing now, most of the time.
But you don't have a full time residence over here. I mean, you're traveling quite a lot. Do you actually have a place?
I don't. It's maybe in the next 5 years I'd like to try and sort that out, because I'm over here so much. It would be good to have a base.
Tell me about the $1 billion robbery. This is another one that I went, hey, that's pretty neat.
I mean, I'm obsessed with, you know, like heist movies, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They fascinate me. Any kind of like criminal underworld, I'm kind of fascinated by. And the $1 billion robbery was actually based on a robbery of the Hatton Garden heist, where they drilled into this safety deposit boxes in the centre of London. So it was based on that. So I decided to recreate the wall, which was kind of drilled through. Inside was this vault full of gold bars, Rolexes, diamonds, stacks of money, all that kind of stuff, like passports, diplomatic bags, that kind of thing. And it was based on this fictional tale of the So Solid crew, as in SEW. Me and my crew had robbed this bank vault. Yeah. So present was my getaway vehicle, which was a little minivan, and also a full-size police car, both of which were covered in felt. But there were also, you know, priceless paintings kind of hanging out of the back of it. So it was like an interrupted robbery, like a freeze frame of the robbery in progress.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's, by then you said you had a staff, so.
Yeah.
It's not just you cutting every tiny bit of felt by yourself. You don't sort of use a pair of scissors and go, I'll make a few 100-pound notes now. And
no, only until I think a year and a half ago, I got my first industrial cutting machine.
Yeah.
Before then, it was everybody cutting out everything by hand. And bearing in mind, I say everybody, it's actually only five people. It's six now, including me.
I thought you said 50. I thought you had a stick.
So I have freelance people that work from home sewing, but in terms of team felt, there's actually only six of us in the studio preparing all the work.
You do all the master work. In other words, it's like, this is what it's going to look like.
Yes.
Kids, give me this. Give me a bit of this. And I mean, what's quality control like in the Lucy Sparrow factory? I use that term loosely, of course. You know, oh, that's not good enough. Go back and do it again. Or are there, you know, I'm just riffing here.
I'm pretty strict, although it's not me that does the quality control now. It's Geraldine.
Oh, hello, Geraldine. How are you? Okay, I wanted to show you a photograph, which I'll put into the story so people can see what the heck we're talking about. It's this photograph, which shows you with a couple of famous people in the year 2022. Can you see that? This was a street fair, I guess, outside Buckingham Palace. And then it went into, this is the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. Can you tell me about this? A photo, if you haven't seen this yet, folks, it's a photo of Lucy speaking with Charles and Camilla. And this was before he was King Charles.
Platinum Jubilee was obviously a massive deal in England. 75 years of the Queen on the throne. There was so much events going on, that kind of thing. I had a tentative link with someone I knew worked at the palace, mm-hmm. Through a mutual friend. And I kind of came up with the idea. I was like, I want to do something. How about a giant felt table full of like a street food party, but almost like a not really posh cakes, mm-hmm. kind of almost like a kid's tea party. So we had, this won't mean anything to you guys, but we had like chocolate fingers, hula hoops, party rings. They're very famous biscuits.
With chocolate, I hope?
With chocolate, yes. Okay. Yes.
Not the boring biscuits, as Richard Curtis would say.
No boring right. biscuits. It was right. all, it was all the really exciting ones.
Yeah.
And I floated the idea of doing it. And I said, you know, is this something that the palace might be interested in doing as part of the Platinum Jubilee festivities?
Yeah.
And they said 100%.
Hmm.
But I only had about 2 months to make it.
Are these roses felt as well?
Yes, they are.
Everything we're looking at in this photograph, this lovely cake. So what happened? It was in the street fair and then it moved inside? Did I read that
yeah.
correctly?
Yeah, so I had as part of the Jubilee, and they've done it for Jubilee since then. It's called like the big lunch, and it's lots of people come and have lunch, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that was on display at the Oval, which is a big cricket ground in South London. And then it went on display in Buckingham Palace, right where the carriages used to pull up.
Oh, yeah.
So it was in there. But you could buy tickets to go to Buckingham Palace, and on part of the tour, you came and seen my 6-meter table of felt food.
What did Charles say to you?
He asked me how the crisps were made, and I explained it because they're fabric, but they're quite like stiff and crunchy. Mm. I explained to him that I mixed up like craft glue and yellow and brown paint, and I scrunched them, and then I left them in the sun to dry.
Oh yeah.
And then Camilla asked how I made the cups. It was great. He was very impressed. He was very lovely. So was she. I later then got to meet William and Kate as well. Mm. I mean, it was a lovely and amazing, brilliant experience, and something that I will never forget.
Is that something? As a British person, as a citizen, I met Prince Charles. I met King Charles. I mean, is that something like kind of makes a shiver go up your spine? Ooh. I mean, you met a few famous people over the years, I'm sure, but
it is for me. I think the thing about, you know, living in England, anything like that, the royal family and their role is very divisive.
Yeah.
I'm kind of into it.
Okay.
So for me,
fair enough.
I was really happy this was happening. I'm really into history. I'm into tradition. I'm proud to be British. So for me, I really enjoyed doing it. But I know that other artists in my position would kind of take more of like an anti-monarchy stance. And I guess it's just personal opinion. I loved it.
You went to Thailand at one point. You made a sex shop, which fascinates me. You did an ice cream van. And you did a New York bagel shop. I wanted to talk about the chippy, which is called?
It's the Borden Street Chippy. So it was in the same location as the chemist, but we just had a rebrand, basically.
Now, just going to say bourbon again, so that's why I asked you. This is still up now. So tell the folks listening here what a chippy is. And yeah.
So it's a fish and chip shop.
Yeah.
It's where you would go and get deep fried cod, haddock, fish cakes, scampi, although chip shops don't usually do scampi that commonly. Okay. They do pies as well. You might have like pies in there.
Yeah.
Your pie and chips. Gravy if you're up north. Mushy peas, curry sauce, that kind of thing. But it, I mean, there's a chippy in every town. There's sometimes a couple of chippies in every town. Yeah. So you always eat fish and chips on a Friday.
So this is where exactly? It's going on now, obviously. Where is this?
It's just off Berkeley Square. So it's in the neighborhood is Mayfair. So it's like a very fancy neighborhood. But the chippy is, you know, not seen as necessarily fancy cuisine, depending on your view of that. But yeah, it's in the middle of Mayfair. It's a gallery called Lindsay Ingram Gallery.
Do people stumble in there thinking it's an actual fish and chip shop?
Yes.
Well, that's gotta be a trip though. No, sorry, it got up the street, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was confusing for them.
What was the hardest thing to make in the chippy?
The hardest thing to make was probably a lot of the furniture. Because there was a dining area that you could sit down and have your meals.
Yeah.
I'd say probably that. But sewing's very simple. Once you know how to sew, things generally are the same, whether it just depends on how long it takes versus how short it takes. But altogether, there were 45,000 individual chips. Yeah, it was a lot.
So there are, I think I read somewhere 14,000 bits in this one.
Yes.
In the quick shop over at Floridorama. How do you know when it's done? Oh, I've made enough. Or wait, look, I made too many leeks or whatever. I did too many boxes of Brillo.
I'm a devil at just keeping adding stuff, to be honest. It's done when the time runs out. And we have to put on the show. If it was up to me, it would just keep going and going and going. But at some point, you do need to draw the line. I have a general idea of how much there is to make to fill the space. But if there's any time left over, which there never is, I tend to just add stuff. But I'm trying not to do that anymore because it winds people up.
This will be up until you tell me until everything's gone.
Yes. So at least until early next year.
I think
there's a good stock of stuff, but it is going quick.
It's going quick. That's good to know. I mean, the holidays, it's perfect. You know, people, you're smiling. You know it's holidays. Good time to do this. One last question I wanted to ask about audience reactions in various cities. You were talking about the people in Beijing. You know, I wonder how the Thai people reacted. You know, Brits versus Americans, you know. Are people just walking and think it's charming? Do people think, how dare she, you know, off with her head or whatever? Or they like, I want to buy this. I want one of these in my house. What's the range there? That's the question.
The British versus American is an easy one for me. So yeah. Obviously it's no secret that the British are a lot more reserved. I think we have such a, I do think we're very spoiled in England in that a lot of our art museums and galleries are free. So there's almost too much to see than you've got time for, which I think does sometimes result in us being a little bit spoiled. So it's quite hard to, it's a lot harder to impress British people. Mm-hmm. And also that there's this thing of not necessarily showing too much enthusiasm.
Oh yeah. that famous reserve.
Okay.
Sure.
And so, I mean, it's more meaningful when someone is very, very impressed because you know that you've done a great job. But then when I do a show over here, I wasn't prepared for like the screaming and the crying and the I don't want to say over the top. It was just very enthusiastic response to my work. And it's quite difficult going from all that amazing response back to doing a show in the UK and feeling like I'm sometimes pulling teeth to impress people. And I'm like, oh, my God. Whereas I do a show over here and people love it. And I'm like, oh.
That's why you keep coming back, right?
Absolutely.
What's next for you?
Next for me is a big museum show. It's actually my first US museum show. It's going to be at the Momentary in Bentonville, Arkansas. And that's going to be like an 80s, 90s kind of time capsule Walmart.
Oh, it's all happening in Arkansas, I tell you what.
It's all happening in Arkansas. Yeah.
So it's going to be 80s, 90s, what? I'm sorry. I was formulating my joke.
it's like a time capsule. So it's called, the show is called The Beginning of Convenience. And it's that time period where both parents might then start going to work. The focus was on quick, convenient food versus having, you know, more 50s housewife kind of slaving over a hot oven kind of thing. Oh, yeah, yeah.
The turkey and that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So it's the birth of microwaves, that kind of thing, instant meals, TV dinners. And that will be on for an entire year. That show is going to be huge. I'm very nervous, but very excited at the same time.
When is that happening?
That opens summer 2026. I'm not sure of the exact date yet.
You expect to be back in Tampa Bay at some point?
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, I love it here, so yeah. I'm always wanting to come back.
What was the Florida Ramen experience like? I mean, they're really nice people over there.
They're incredible. You know, I actually went around the whole of the exhibit yesterday with my two girls from Team Felt that I've got over here.
Yeah.
And we just had a great time. We did the scavenger hunt. We were pressing all the buttons and doing all the things that you know, encouraged to do. And we just had a great time.
I was telling Liz recently, we were walking through it, and I said, you know, you should sort of raffle off nights here. It's sort of like, can you spend the night in the haunted house? You know, it's just this sort of garish, I'm in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, bright and neon and funky and strange, and it's like a haunted house vibe. It's like a good haunted. It's like a fun house.
It's like this. Yeah, it's like a dopamine hit for like every single senses. It's just fun for, you know, kids, adults, everything. You know, it brings out the child in you.
Well, that's what it did to me. It's always right there near the surface anyway. Lucy Sparrow, what a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you so much for having me, Bill. And
And you know, wishing you safe travels.
Thank you very much.
All the way back home, and hope to see you next time.
Yeah, see you then.